a psalm that we think about a lot through the year, and especially around the Thanksgiving holiday, is Psalm 100. And I'd like to read it to you at this time. Psalm 100, beginning in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now that verse ought to encourage all of us to participate in worshiping God, even if we don't think we can sing. Because the verse says, make a joyful noise. You can all make a noise. Make a joyful noise. And joy is something that ought to be very, very common in the lives of God's children. We have a lot to be joyful about. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. God's got a people all over the world in all lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We have so much to be thankful for, and I think for many people, the Thanksgiving holiday is the favorite holiday of the year. There's, you don't feel obligated to go out and buy anybody a gift. You don't have to do a lot of decorating. It's not so stressful, unless you got to cook for a big crowd. Now that can be a job, but you do that with joy. Thanksgiving is a wonderful holiday, and I'm so thankful that the United States of America has set aside a day of the year just for giving thanks. But it ought not to be just once a year. It ought to be every day that we give thanks unto God. We have so many blessings. And when you start thinking about your blessings this morning, what comes to your mind? Well, I want to tell you, the five senses are great, aren't they? I was with somebody recently who was blind, and I was very touched by that disability. Now, it's amazing what they could do even without their vision. All the other senses kind of kicked in and helped them to do a lot. But I want to tell you, being able to see is an incredible blessing. Being able to hear, isn't that a blessing to be able to hear the voices of your loved ones, the singing of the hymns, just to be able to hear? And that's something we ought to give thanks for every day. Somebody said a while back, when you go to bed at night, if you wear bedroom shoes, you ought to push them way up under the bed when you go to bed, so that in the morning when you get up, you have to get on your knees to get your bedroom shoes out. And while you're down there, just start giving thanks. Is that a good idea? I mean, the sense of taste, a lot of people lost that during COVID, but I tell you, I enjoy good food. I enjoy tasting food. What about y'all? The sense of feeling, that's a wonderful blessing. I mean, just thinking about our five senses and the food we eat and the clothes we wear and the houses we live in, the great country we live in. You know, I know we're all concerned about so many illegals coming into our country on the southern border. That's not right. But I can understand why they want to come. And we ought to be glad to let them come if they come legally. That's how our ancestors got here. But you and I were born here. Just born an American citizen. I have some friends that I knew in Birmingham who came from Colombia, South America. And they just recently got their American citizenship after many years. They had to take a lot of lessons. They had to learn a lot about the Constitution. And they're so thankful to have what you and I were born with, citizenship. Have you ever just really stopped and thought about it? And when you go down to Cochrane, and I'd encourage you to go if you haven't been lately, and just drive around and see all those beautiful American flags. Dozens and dozens of them out there. And you know what they're there for? To remind us of our veterans, those who have served our country. I've often said I feel like I'm getting a free trip in America because I never served in our military. But I hope I have a deep gratitude for those who have served, and especially those families that lost their sons and daughters in battle. Beloved, let's not take any of God's blessings for granted. Our cars, our houses, our good roads to ride on. They're just incredible blessings. But then, in the spiritual realm, we have even more to bless us. Spiritually, we have a God in heaven who created the heaven and the earth. And the text I read to you says, the Lord is good. The Lord is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. How many of y'all think about that? What if God wasn't good? Oh, our God is a good God, and we ought to be praising Him and thanking Him for that today. Salvation. We have eternal life given to us as a gift through the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross. Our life on earth is enjoyable, but it's brief. Even if you live to be 100 years old, that's not long. But you see, you've got an eternal life waiting for you in another world, a much better world than this one, a city not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That, beloved, is a lot to rejoice in, isn't it? And when you lose a loved one, I had the funeral the other day of a lady, 98 years old, and I was able, I believe, to comfort that family by pointing them to the fact that her spirit is already in glory. Jesus said to the dying thief, "Today shall thou be with me in paradise." They left a rugged hill called Calvary, Golgotha, full of dead men's bones. Suffering, agony, shame. They left that hill and went immediately to glory, to paradise. And that's where our loved ones are, that their bodies are out here, but they're already in glory. Y'all ever thank God for that? I mean, and we're going. You know, I was thinking this morning, when I die, will I have any consciousness? I believe I will. I believe I'll be more conscious when this body dies than I've ever been in this body. I'll be freed from this body, and I'll be with God in glory, and I'll have more consciousness than I've ever had here in this world. And then, beloved, we have a new nature that God has given us. He didn't leave us dead in sin, but He quickened us through the Holy Spirit, so that now we have spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, a spiritual appetite, spiritual feelings. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? That's such a blessing to have a spiritual nature. And then we have these hymn books. Do y'all ever thank God for the song books? I'm telling you, this is a blessing to the kingdom of God, to have hymns that we can sing to the glory of God. And then we have our church family. What a blessing it is. Sister Janice was telling me the other day what a blessing her church family here at Cool Springs has been to her as she has passed through her physical ailments. And it's been true with all of us. I know what a blessing this church was to my family when my dad fell and had a stroke and was disabled for 6 years. And so many came to visit and brought gifts and showed so much love. What a blessing it is to have a church family. You say, now, Brother Sam, our church isn't what it ought to be. Well, I'm sure there's room for improvement, but what are you doing to make it a better church? Ooh, that's a good question, isn't it? I don't mean to step on any toes on Thanksgiving, but let's all do our best to make Cool Springs a better church. And we have the Holy Spirit that God has given us. And I want to tell you this book, oh, what a blessing it has been and continues to be until this present hour. So, beloved, let's all just give thanks. I read the other day where this boy went to his daddy and said, Daddy, guess what? He said, I learned to say please and thank you in Spanish. And the daddy said, that's good. Now learn to say it in English. How many of y'all say please and thank you to God on a daily basis? Oh, brothers and sisters, we have so much to praise God and to thank God for in this present life. But you know, you say, well, Brother Sam, that's all good. But you know, life is hard. God is good, but life is hard. And I think all of us could say that. I mean, we had a long prayer list this morning for people who are physically suffering. And we do know that life can get very difficult in this life. But I want to turn with you this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, begins to talk some about his troubles and trials as he served God as an apostle in the first century. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now the earthen vessel, I think there, is a metaphor or symbolic of these human bodies that you and I live in. And these bodies are perishing. They're getting older. But we have a treasure in these bodies. And I believe it's salvation, it's eternal life, it's the gift of God given to us that we have in these bodies. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And then he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. And if you've read much about the Apostle Paul and his life, through the Acts of the Apostles, you know that he was troubled on every side, but not distressed. He said, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Let's sing that song in a little while. Cast down, but not destroyed. I don't know the number, but it's in the song. But cast down, but not destroyed. That's a scriptural verse that Paul is giving us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You see, the apostles and the early church lived under Roman tyranny. They lived under a dictatorship that was not friendly to Christianity. They had crucified Jesus on a Roman cross. And now they were persecuting the followers of Jesus. And Paul is reminding us of what they are suffering in the first century because they were doing what you and I are doing right now. We are gathered here to worship Jesus. Do you know there are places in the world today where your life would be in danger if you worship Jesus Christ? Aren't we thankful for the freedoms we have? But you know, beloved, the tricky thing about being blessed is you can be so blessed you begin to take them for granted. Now, hopefully I'll be able to stir up our minds this morning to make us more aware of how blessed we are. But the Apostle Paul lived in the first century and suffered many things for his Christian faith. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Now, I want to come down to verse 16. The apostle would say, for which cause we faint not. Now, that word faint means just to give up, just to lose hope. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, the outward man is talking about our bodies. And it is perishing. It is growing old and it has afflictions and trials by the way and will finally die. The outward man is perishing. But the inward man is renewed day by day. Do y'all see that? We have the outer man and we have the inner man. And the outer man is perishing. He's getting old. All I have to prove that is a mirror. That's all I need. Just look in that mirror and see my outward man perishing. But beloved, the inward man, that is that part of us that's born from above, that spiritual nature, that can be renewed day by day. Now let me say this morning, if you're blessed in this world to have a job and you've got a good family and you've got a house to live in and a couple of cars to drive around in, you've got all of that and you're not content, you're not happy, you know what's happened? You stopped growing spiritually. You've just shut down your spiritual life. See, if you're growing spiritually in your knowledge of God and how wonderful and glorious He is and the person of Jesus Christ, that He loves righteousness and He hates iniquity and He's the best friend that you and I will ever have and He loved us and died for us on the cross and we keep those things on our mind, the inward man is being renewed day by day and we find ourselves rejoicing. Even in the midst of the troubles and trials of this life, for which cause we faint not. Now listen to this. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Listen, beloved, most of us, if we've got a ache, you know, if we're suffering in our bodies, we're focused on that and aware of it. But we need to be paying a lot of attention to our inward man and making sure that he's being fed, that he's being nourished, that he's being encouraged, that he's being built up by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And then Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Now listen to what Paul says here. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now if you want to read about his light afflictions, you turn over to the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And let's read what the Apostle Paul himself went through as a servant of Jesus Christ. He says in 2 Corinthians 11 and 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Paul is saying to this church at Corinth, who was proud and arrogant and high-minded and boastful and always complaining about something. He says, I'm going to speak to you all as a fool. How could the great apostle Paul speak as a fool? Well, they've pushed him into it. The Corinthian church has lost their respect for the aged apostle. And they're complaining about him because he's trying to correct them in areas that they don't want to be corrected in. And so he's going to speak to them as a fool by reminding them of what he has suffered for Jesus' sake. You all wouldn't want to hear a preacher get up and every time he preached tell you all about all that he's been through for Jesus' sake, would you? You wouldn't want to hear that. And Paul didn't do that, except on this occasion. He's going to remind this church of what he has been through for Jesus' sake. He said, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That is, on 5 occasions. The Jews would strip him and tie him to a whipping post and beat him without mercy and give him 39 stripes on a naked back. You just think about that. Would you call that a light affliction? Have I lost y'all? 39 stripes on a naked back. Tied to a whipping post. And on 5 different occasions, they beat him. And let me tell you, in those days, men trained with a whip knew how to hurt a human body. Some men didn't even survive those beatings. When that cat of nine tails wrapped itself around a human body and it was jerked, flesh flew everywhere, blood flew everywhere. Sometimes the kidneys would be made bare. And why are they beating this man? For the very thing you and I are doing right now, worshiping Jesus Christ. 5 times he got that kind of whipping. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Now I'm telling you, a rod beating would be, it would break the bones. 3 times he got that kind of whipping. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside all these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Would you call those light afflictions? I've never spent one night in jail for Jesus' sake. Never been threatened to be locked up for preaching. But if I ever spent one night in jail for this cause, I'd probably have to work it into every sermon I preached. I would want your sympathy. Listen to the apostle. He said, I'm speaking as a fool when I bring all this up. But there's a reason why he's doing it. And yet, he has described his suffering as light. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. How in the world of reason could this man describe his afflictions as being light and but for a moment? Because, beloved, I believe the Apostle Paul was weighing his suffering on God's scales, and they seemed very light. When he put his suffering up against the suffering of the Savior, he recognized his afflictions were but light. And he would say to the Romans in chapter 8, he would say, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. When I went to Vestavia to pastor, there was a brother there, a deacon in the church, a brother Smith that I had known for a long time and loved him dearly. He was a great singer, had a beautiful tenor voice. He was a very faithful member of the church, had been for many, many years. But he ended up with cancer of the mouth. And they finally had to cut most of his jaw off. And they had to cut his tongue out. And for a number of years, Brother Smith had to go around with a dish rag or bath cloth in his mouth because of all of the drainage. It was horrible. They had to feed him with a tube for years. And yet he was a faithful member. He was always at church and suffered greatly in his body. A true Christian man whose children rose up to be faithful members of the church and to honor their father in his life and in his death. And they'd asked me to have his funeral service. And in the flyer that the funeral home prepared, you know what the greatest, the verse Brother Smith wanted on it was? That verse from Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Why wouldn't the suffering that man went through be worthy to be compared to the glory? Because it was momentary. It was but for a moment down here on earth. But you see, the glory that was waiting for him is eternal. Are y'all with me today? So you and I can have that same wonderful attitude toward our suffering. He learned sign language. Couldn't sing, but he learned sign language. He could communicate with his family through sign language. And on that flyer that the memorial sheet that the funeral home put out, he had the symbol of love. I mean, that man loved God, he loved people, he loved one another, he loved me. I tell you, he was an inspiration to me. I don't know what I will face from now to the grave. I don't want to know. I'd rather take it a day at a time. What about y'all? How many of y'all want to, your whole life just rolled out? Not me. I'll take it like God gives it to us, one day at a time. And I don't know what the future holds. But I know one thing. The God that was with Brother Smith will be there for me. And His grace will be sufficient. The God that was with the Apostle Paul enabled him to say, for our light affliction. And if you could have seen Paul, if he walked in that door right now, in that body as it was before he died, you would look at him and you would pity him. See, when a man is stoned and they left him for dead, they break probably many bones in the body. He didn't go to an orthopedic surgeon and get all that fixed up. His eyesight was very poor. As a matter of fact, he was almost blind, apparently, in his letter to the Galatians. And yet this man, a vessel of suffering, say, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to even be talked about in the presence of the glory that waits on us in yonder's world. Are y'all, see, if you enjoy being sick, and some people do, you know, there are people you don't want to ask them how they're doing. Do you know anybody like that? Because you know they're going to tell you and you're going to need a long time to get it off. Listen, I'm not saying that to make fun of people, but I want to tell you, brethren and sisters, if you enjoy being sick and having a lot of attention, you don't want to hear this kind of sermon because that steals your thunder. But let me tell you, if you want to enjoy your life, if you want to be happy, get your mind off yourself and on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I got a good strong amen out of that. How many of y'all agree with it? But you're quiet. You're nodding. Let's read on. And now, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Did you know there are things that you and I can't see with our natural eyes are glorious and eternal, and by faith we can see them. So I want to just close today by just telling, I know people suffer. You know, I've been trying to pastor people since I was a kid. Started trying to preach when I was 15, and I was asked to serve Ephesus Church and Mount Horeb when I was 16. And they had old people in those churches, and they were afflicted with health problems. And I, as a pastor, would go and visit with them. And I have seen people suffer all through these years. Goodness. Almost 60 years now in the pastorate. And I have seen many people suffer from accidents. I've seen people suffer from all kinds of diseases. I have seen a lot of suffering in my lifetime. But I have seen people have a Christian attitude in their suffering, and it would help them. And I'll tell you one thing that would help us. If our suffering would help us to see the suffering of Jesus. When you're suffering, and I know all of you suffer, and I'm not going to make light of your suffering, please. I don't want you to make light of mine. My ear was hurting this week. I appreciated Nelda showing me a little sympathy. But I want to just say, when we're suffering, if we can just get our minds for a little while off of us and get it on Jesus, on that cross. You talk about suffering. You and I don't have a clue. We don't have a hint. What they did to him, I said it recently here, when they scourged a man, many of them didn't survive the scourging to even be crucified. And you know why he was up there on that cross? See, when I suffer, I'm a sinner. And I'm sure I don't get nearly what I deserve in the way of suffering. But my Savior was perfect. You know why he was up there on that cross? For your sins and my sins. He took your place and my place. So, I think you and I would do well to meditate on the sufferings of our Savior. When I survey the wondrous cross, y'all ever just survey the wondrous cross on which He was crucified? So let our suffering remind us of the suffering of Jesus. And I think that's what Brother Smith was doing. With all of his suffering from having his tongue cut out and not able to eat and he had been a very strong, active man. I tell you, his mind was on Jesus Christ. His mind was on the blessed Savior who died for him. Another thing that I think we'd benefit from in our sufferings, it keeps us from being proud. How many of y'all ever struggle a little with pride? Now, if a preacher ever asked y'all the question, everybody here that's humble, I want you to raise your hands. How many of y'all would raise your hands? I doubt anybody here today would raise your hand. Because, see, if you raised your hand and said, I'm humble, you'd be proud of being humble. That's a tricky question, isn't it? But let me ask it another way. How many here today ought to be humble? How many of y'all should be humble? We got a lot to be humble about. And our suffering would help to remind us not to be proud, not to be arrogant and boastful, but to be humble. Because I want to tell you, the Bible says we're to be clothed with humility. That's a beautiful garment for God's children to wear. How many of y'all love for people to just brag and boast and carry on? No, no. Our suffering can help us to be humble. Another thing it can do is help us to look to another world and rejoice in the fact that our time here is momentary while we're waiting to go to glory. Another thing about suffering is it strengthens our faith. We start using our faith to trust in God. And let me say this in closing today. Our suffering reminds us of how good God is to us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Listen, Satan does not want you to love God. Satan doesn't want you to think well of God. Satan wants you to be mad with God. I was talking to somebody the other day and he said, I argue with God. I trembled. Beloved, let's just remember that God is good. And let's praise Him and thank Him. And this coming Thanksgiving, I know, knowing me, I'm going to enjoy Thanksgiving dinner. Sister Janice, that's a gathering place for the Bryant family, and a lot of people come in and help. And I always, always break my resolution. So we're going to enjoy Thanksgiving. We're going to enjoy the food, the fellowship, the company. But in the midst of it all, let's remember what the day's about, right? It's giving thanks to the fountain of every blessing. Thank you all for your wonderful attention today.